Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Sri Raja Kacharya Astotara Sutta Shri Shivad Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Dai Gaur Premanandi. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the Shri Shri Guru Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Welcome on this cold morning. I see many have chose to stay in a warm atmosphere, I think. But let's start with our invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are continuing chapter 21, the conversation between Manu and Kardama, and we will study verse 14. And pardon my Sanskrit. Ye mayaya te hatameda sastvat. Padara vindam bhava sindhu potam. Upasate kama lavayate sham. Rashishya kaman niraye pishyeshu. Ye mayaya te hata meda shastvat. Padara vindam bhava sindhu potam. Upasate kama lavayate sham. Rash isha kaman niraye piyeshu. Ye mayaya te hata meda shastvat. Padara vindam bhava sindhu potam. Upasate kama lavayate sham. Rashisha kaman niraye piyeshu. Ye maya te hatameda sastvat. Padara vindam bhava sindhu potam. Upasate kama lavayate sham. Rashisha kama niraye pisheshu. Ye maya te hata meda shastvat. Padara vindam bhava sindhu potam. Upasate kama lavayate sham. Rashisha kama niraye pieshu. Ye maya te hata meda sastvat. Padara vindam bhava sindhu potam. Upasate kama lavayate sham. Rash isha kama niraye pieshu. Ye maya te hata meda sastvat. Padara vindam bhava sindhu potam. Upasate kama lavayate sham. Rash isha kamam niraye pieshu. Word for word, yea, those persons, mayaya, by the deluding energy, te, of you, hata, has been lost, medasaha, whose intelligence, tvat, your, pada aravindam, lotus feet, bhava, of mundane existence, sindhu, the ocean, potam, the boat for crossing. Upasate, worship, kama lavaya, for obtaining trivial pleasures. Tesham, there, rasi, you bestow. Isha, O Lord, kaman, desires. Niraye, in hell. Api, even. Yea, which desires? And I don't think that's a question, it's which desires. Shu can be available. Translation, your lotus feet are the true vessel to take one across the ocean of mundane nescience. Only persons deprived of their intelligence by the spell of the deluding energy will worship those feet with a view to attain the trivial and momentary pleasures of the senses, which even persons rotting in hell can attain. However, my Lord, you are so kind that you bestow mercy even upon them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, there are two kinds of devotees, those who desire material pleasures and those who desire nothing but service to the Lord. Material pleasures can be attained even by hogs and dogs whose condition of life is hellish. The hog also eats, sleeps, and enjoys sex life to the full extent, and it is also very satisfied with such hellish enjoyment of material existence. Modern yogis advise that because one has senses, one must enjoy to the fullest extent, like cats and dogs. Yet one can go on and practice yoga. This is condemned here by Kardama Muni. He says that such material pleasures are available for cats and dogs in hellish condition. The Lord is so kind that if so-called yogis are satisfied by hellish pleasures, he can give them facilities to attain all the material pleasures they desire, but they cannot attain the perfectional stage attained by Kardama Muni. Hellish and demonic persons do not actually know what is the ultimate attainment in perfection, and therefore they think that sense gratification is the highest goal of life. They advise that one can satisfy the senses and at the same time, by reciting some mantra and by some practice, they can cheaply aspire for perfection. Such persons are described here as hatamedasa, which means those whose brains are spoiled. They aspire for material enjoyment by perfection of yoga or meditation. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated by the Lord that the intelligence of those who worship the demigods has been spoiled. Similarly, here too, it is stated by Kardama Muni that one who aspires after material enjoyment by practice of yoga has spoiled his brain substance and is fool number one. Actually, the intelligent practitioner of yoga should aspire for nothing else but to cross over the ocean of nescience by worshiping the personality of Godhead and to see the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind, however, that even today, persons whose brain substance is spoiled are given the benediction to become cats, dogs, or hogs and enjoy material happiness from sex life and sense gratification. The Lord confirms this benediction in Bhagavad Gita, quote, whatever a person aspires to receive from me, I offer him as he desires, unquote. Om Agyanaj Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaste Girirajaya Shri Govardhana Namane Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daine Vrindavani Vrinde Vishvapujita Pushpasadanandani Krishna Jivani Vishvapavani Tulsi Vancha Kalpata Rubis Jagipasandhu Vyeva Chapatitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this continuing, this is the second statement by Kardama Muni, who has just achieved this wonderful darshan of Krishna. And we heard yesterday what a sight it is. And it is a sight that takes away all other sights. Lavanam nirmuktam, the sight of Krishna takes away all other desirable sights. If we want to, because these eyes are seeing vessels, and they enjoy to see things. So obviously we're always looking for something. And once those eyes attain the sight of Krishna, they become completely, they've attained their greatest perfection, is what was said yesterday. The greatest perfection of sight. So when we come, we experience this to a small degree, but based on our consciousness, how our consciousness is. But when we come and we come and gaze at the Lord, we don't really want to look away oftentimes. We want to stay looking at Krishna and Radha and Balaram and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada and that all the wonderful devotion that has been put in there, because that sight, there is something more than just the molecules hitting the back of our retina. There's something more to it, because there is devotion there, because Krishna is there. He is manifest by the desire of the devotees, and he is being worshipped. And so that sight, although you could say there is a material reaction in the retina that goes into our brains and we have some conception of what it looks like, what he looks like, but still there is something there that is more subtle. And this verse actually is also a very subtle verse, today's verse. There's a subtlety, and this is called parokshava. This is the way sometimes the descriptions of Krishna are given. They're given very subtly. And so there's a subtle message in this verse, and we'll get to that. But so he's seeing the Lord, and he's so enlivened by that. Like, and how long did it take? Take 10,000 years for him to do this? How much determination? How much steadiness? Do we have we done anything for 10,000 years? Even 10,000 seconds, we have a hard time. That's like little more than 2.5 hours. And to sit, can we sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna for 10,000 seconds? Very difficult. So he did it, though. He did it for 10,000 years, and he attained this sight. So in this sight, in this realization that he has gotten, he's seeing the Lord now. He's seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. And the process of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is so satisfying to the devotee. Samasrita ye padapallava plavam mahat padam punyayaso marare bhavambudir yas Bhavambodir Vatsapadam Param Padam Padam Jam Yavi Padam Neitesham. For those who just approach Krishna's feet. So what does that mean? You know, that's the Atato Brahma Jignas, the therefore. The therefore is like, after so much trouble and tribulation of material life has happened, we come to Krishna's feet. We come to inquire, we come to see, we come to experience Krishna. And when we take that shelter, when we get enough of knowledge and enough purification, we actually say, yes, I want to surrender to Krishna. That is such a step. And Krishna at that point then takes charge of his devotee and he makes things very easy. Now we will say, we can also counter, well, it hasn't been so easy, Prabhu. It's been very difficult to get through this life. But comparatively to sitting for 10,000 years is very easy. to what? To chant Hare Krishna, to see the deities, to associate with devotees, to take prasadam, to dance in kirtan. These are very easy things. But what happens to a person who is hatamedasa, or who loses their intelligence and then starts to contemplate the objects of senses again? They think, oh, well, maybe I can get something from Krishna. And so Srila Prabhupada very strongly speaks of this in the purport about coming to this supreme beneficial activity of devotional service and then using it or having some material motivation in it. And of course we hear this throughout many of our teachings. We hear this in the chanting of the holy name, that if we're chanting the holy name with material, that we think, okay, I will do this intellect, and the name will take care of it. That is an offense to the name. So an offense to also here, if we have, what is the result? We begun to rot in hell, which even people, because Prabhupada would often speak on this, that because many people will say, well, we can't just give up everything and become devotees, because who will grow the food? Who will be the doctors? Who will be the lawyers? And Prabhupada, actually just this morning I was listening, he was talking to a Lord Dartmouth or something in London, 1973, and that was a concern. We can't just give everything, you know, and he said, no, he said, the elephant, and he always gives the elephant and the ant, they are getting. And there's so many more elephants and ants, and there's so many more living entities, and he said, there are 8,400,000, and so 8 million of them, they're not starving in the street. But the 400,000 species of humans were so worried about starving and were so worried about being taken care of. But he does that. And that's his, in here, Rush Isha. He is giving very merciful to anyone who wants. That's what the whole material world and tabernacle is all about. We wanted something other than Krishna. Okay, well, here is the facility. And then when we finally start to get some sense and we come back to devotional service, then Kardama Muni is here, and Srila Prabhupada very strongly speaking, that if we come and we again go down that path, that is a very great loss. It's a very great loss. But this Parokshavad, this very subtle thing that's going on here in this verse, is this from this word Rush Isha, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is the saving grace for even those who are worshiping Krishna's feet with a view for material benefits. There is still something there that Krishna is giving. Because if we look all of the teachings of the Vedas, the karma yoga, jnana yoga, all of this, it all needs some element of bhakti to be successful. You cannot become a great karma yogi without some bhakti involved. You cannot become a jnani without some bhakti. But bhakti does not require karma or jnana, which sets it apart from them. But what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said about this word Rashisha is that even if we are coming to use either karma yoga, jnana, or even bhakti yoga, if that little element of bhakti is in there, that is like our lifeline, practically speaking. It's a lifeline for the devotee to hold on so that eventually they'll be purified. And time again, I believe in the next canto we'll be hearing about Dhruva Maharaj, and that this was also his, he had this desire, he had this strong material desire, and Narada Muni said, well, sages go to the fore, you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, and then we I was thinking about it when I was saw this verse and I saw this strength of Prabhupada's words here, that the Bhagavatam is comprised more so than not of those struggling. If there was a Bhagavatam that just said, well, such and such devotee sat down, he chanted Hare Krishna and went back to Godhead. And then there was this other devotee, he sat down, she sat down, and she worshipped Krishna and she went back to Godhead. And then if we just saw that, we'd be thinking, boy, what is that? What is that helping? Okay, do I just do that? Can I just sit down and chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead? Yes, we can, but can we? If we're honest with ourselves, are we completely free from material desires? So this Parokshavada is here. Kardama says, however, my Lord, you are so kind that you bestow mercy even upon them. So it's a little hidden. It's Parokshavada. It's hidden a little bit. It's subtle. But in the next verse, it will be very clear, and I won't ruin tomorrow's verse. So you have to come tomorrow to hear the conclusion there. But even if we do akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara diji brena bhakti yogena jeta purusham param, that whether we're full of material desires or we have no desires and we desire some liberation or we desire whatever it is, we engage in the service of Krishna, because that is purifying, and the example is the sun. We're all Floridians here, and we know the power of the sun. If you have something that's filthy and something is dirty, you put it out in the sun, and it eventually, of course, it crumbles into dust mostly, but it will be purified at that point. But that's the power, that's the tivra of the bhakti process, is that it is purifying. And most of us, we're older, getting older here in this room, and perhaps maybe many of our listeners, but even if you're not older and you're young, by practicing devotional service, you start to get these ideas. Now, how does that happen? And it is kind of related to this analogy that he's giving, that the lotus feet are the vessel. The lotus feet are the vessel to cross. Samasriti. His feet are like a vessel. And when we approach those feet, what does that mean, approaching feet? Any what do you think it means when we approach feet? Submitting. What else? Offering service. Okay, what else? There's more. Read my mind. Humility. What else? You're trying to please somebody. When you're doing real service, it's not that do this service or off with your head. It's doing the service. We want to please this person. And so when Krishna, now that's our job. We're going to Krishna. We want to please him. Now when Krishna sees that, he sees it from, he says, oh, this person wants to please me. Let me make it very easy. Let me make it very easy. And this ocean of mundane nations, the Mahat Bhutam, Bhavam Bhudir, it is like Bhava Sindhu, the ocean. He'll shrink it down very small. But then there is also, if we still have desires, he gives it. Prabhupada said of Jayananda when he said, but if he had any material desires, he would certainly go to some heavenly planet. So Krishna, there's a lot of places where Prabhupada speaks about this and gives examples. He gives an example from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who gave that if one goes to a rich man, a very rich man, and you go, you know, the rich man is very benevolent, and you go before him and you say, can I have some of your ashes, please, from the fire pit? And what worth is that? What good is that? Was that very intelligent? The Hatha Medasa is taken away, that here you are, you're going to this personality and you're asking for something that, yeah, they'll give it to you. And he will give it to you. And Krishna also is like that, that if we go to him, we ask him only for material things, he'll give it to us, but we're still going to Krishna and we're still getting that contact. But then eventually we'll be thinking, oh, every time I ask for this, and I think this is typical this time of year, the post-present season, that you get all these presents and really there's a lot of dissatisfaction still. They're like, is that it? That's all I got. And you know, you get your new thing and you set it all up and then, okay, it sits in the corner. I remember, well, I won't go into that. It was called Vertibird. There was this helicopter thing. I really wanted when I was a kid. It was a helicopter on a stick, and it would go around in circles, and that was it, you know. And I really wanted it. I got it, and I used it. I set it up, and it just went around in circles. And how long can you watch this thing go around in circles? And basically, I used it five or six times, and then that was it. You lose it. It loses very. But Krishna's very. Yes, you want liberation. You can have it. You want this. You want that. You have it. Because when we go to Krishna, there's a little different dynamic there as well. When we are saying, Krishna, we want you. He is very willing to give himself, but when he gives himself. And if we have any tinge of still material thing, he doesn't readily give him, just like we don't. It's just a natural thing of psychology. We only tell our deepest feelings to somebody who is very beloved to us, who's very trusting to us. And so, in those relationships, I think we heard a couple days ago, the relationship that we are trying to build, it becomes very strong, very solid, when we understand our relationship with Krishna, and it becomes a very two-way thing. And so, in a relationship, in any real relationship, there's always truth, there is honesty, revealing of each other to each other. And Krishna says over and over in places in the Bhagavad Gita, for those who do like that, those I give everything. I'll give their intelligence, I'll give everything. I'll give them shelter. I will not let them lose sight of me for even a moment. They'll always be in me and I'll always be in them. He says this over and over again, but it takes that little push from our side that this is what I want. And so another example of going, the uselessness of going to Krishna directly for something material, Prabhupada gives, and he actually quotes it from the Aesop's fables, the great Aesop fables of this one. And you will see it. You see it in Vrindavan. You see it in different parts of India, that ladies will carry big stacks of wood. You'll see them. They grow a lot of these thorny bushes just for fire burning and things for the kitchens and things. So you'll see all day, you know, different parts, especially in the villages when you drive, like from one of the giant city of Vrindavan to the growing city of Govardhan. You'll see a lot of this in the fields. The bundles are being carried. And the Aesop fable is that the one lady, she was carrying this bundle and it fell off and she just, oh God. You know, we do that often too, like, God, blank, blank, you know, and JC, or well, so many things we'll call out. It's a natural thing, you call out. But then for this, Krishna appeared, God appeared. Yes, what do you want? Oh, yeah, this bundle, can you put it back on my head? Oh, yes, of course. Of course, Krishna, you know, yes, if that's what you want. You've called me and I've come. If that's what you want, you have it. But Krishna is also very kind that eventually that bundle will fall off and it'll become a burden again. And then we have to call again. And we eventually will start getting some glimpse and we'll start getting some realization that, oh yeah, this approach was the wrong approach. Ahakama savakama va. That tree brain, it'll be gently purified, gradually purified. Because here, Kardama is stating this in humility. This isn't him saying, ha, look at those yogis. Look at those guys. They're worshiping you. They were just one. He is doing this in great humility, and this will be revealed in tomorrow's verse. Great humility, because he is the one that he's asking this mercy, this Rashisha. He has recognized Krishna to be the Isha, obviously, and that he will give, he will bestow Rashi, he's the giver. Oftentimes we see many of our acharyas pray like this, almost in a... almost in a lawyer-like way, and it's quite endearing when you see it, that, oh, Krishna, you are merciful to the fallen. I am fallen. So what is that? What is the conclusion? You will be merciful to me, right? They often do that. So here, Kardama Muni is setting this up. He's setting it up. He's saying, however, my Lord, you are so kind that even those who approach you for material things, you bestow it. And with that, you will get something. So I wanted to there's so many songs by Narottam and by Bhaktivinod on this idea of asking Krishna's mercy in a lawyer-like way. And for me, it's very relatable. This is one of, many of Bhaktivinoda's songs are based on Yamunacharya's Strota Ratna. And this song particularly, it's in the Goptritre Varana, or the mood of accepting Krishna as our only maintainer. Now that's quite a step, and actually Sanatana Goswami or Jiva Goswami says that is the main anga of Saranagati. Saranagati has six portions: humility, offering, surrender of ourself, offering things, only doing things that are favorable, rejecting the unfavorable, accepting Krishna as our maintainer, and accepting Krishna as our only protector. But this Goptritre Varana is considered the king of those, or the main anga, angi. And so here this song is a little humorous, because Bhaktivinoda was also a lawyer, or a judge, so he knew lawyer and he knew how to win arguments. So he's putting up an argument to Krishna, and in this way, it's quite endearing. So it's a ki jane ki bale tomara dhame te. That ki jane, what knowledge, what bale, what strength do I have that I have come to your feet? Is this our endeavor? Has this been only our endeavor? Or what involvement has been of yours? And we should also maybe reflect on that when we're years are passing, decades are passing. How has this happened? Is it by our power? Is it by the mercy of the pure devotee? Is it the mercy of Krishna? These are things to contemplate and to think of and to appreciate and to be full of gratitude that we are here. By what personal understanding or by what power has one such as I come to your shelter? Hoinu sharanagata. Tumi doya moi patita pavana patita tana nirata. That, so he gives two names of Krishna. Tumi, you are doyamoy. You are always giving your mercy. And you are patita pavana. You are the shelter, or you are the savior of the fallen. Doyamoy patita pavana. So he starts the song by saying that. Here are your two names. That's the first law. Here's the first argument in his case. This is your names. Now, he starts talking about himself a little bit. My only hope, O Lord, is that you are full of mercy and compassion. So these two names describe Krishna as being full of mercy and compassion. So he's saying, I'm hoping this is actual true. These are your names, and I think so. I think so. There is no one more in need of your mercy than I. You will surely drive away all of my fears. Because this bhava sindhu is full of fear. The ocean of nescience. There's so much fear. There's so much, I mean, it's never been, you know, my entire life, and I'm not that old yet. I'm getting there, but some of you are older than that, and I bet in your entire life, you have never seen actually things get better. We're only seeing things get gradually worse. Maybe, you know, if you put them, there's a little jiggle in that. But if you look on the chart, it's actually getting worse. Things are getting worse. People are more divisive. People are more mean. People are more segregated. It's very difficult. It's a mean place. It doesn't get better. So in that understanding of where we're at, we have to turn to Krishna. And so there is no one more in need of your mercy than me. So we can also pray that I really need your mercy to drive away these fears. No one else in this world has the power to rescue me, O merciful Lord. So he says again, Doyal Thakur, you are Doyamoy, Doyal Thakur, there is no one more merciful than you, and no one has the power. By your decree, kindly deliver this fallen sinner. So again, he's calling. I have given up everything and come to your lotus feet, the same lotus feet, the Pallapallava, the potam, the boat of your lotus feet. We've come to the lotus feet, and we are engaging in pure devotional service. We may think, oh, well, I'm not pure engaging, but this process that Srila Prabhupada has given us is pure devotional service. Whether or not how much we're able to get into it, but the process is pure devotional service. You are my maintainer, Gopdrite. You are my sole protector, O Lord of the universe. Everything is yours, and I'm merely your menial servant. So it is certain that you will deliver me. So in this way, he's kind of leaning on this name that he keeps saying these same words that your doyal, your patita pavani, your these things, you must do it because, and then he says something very, very, tomara charana korina varana amara nahito ami. I have chosen your lotus feet as my only shelter. I no longer belong to myself. Doesn't even belong to himself. He said, now I am yours, Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Kandiya Sharana Loi Chitomarapai. Bhakti Vinod, in this, and it's not just the Facebook, like, I'm surrendered to Krishna. Okay, and then we'll post it. Yes, what is your greatest desire, Prabhu? Oh, I just want surrender to Krishna. And you put it on the Facebook. Okay, wow, that happened. Very nice, very nice. But no, he's weeping. Kandiya sharana loya chitomani. He's humbly bowing down. He's weeping, taking shelter at the feet. He's asking for kshami aparad, please forgive me for all my offenses. And give me nama ruchi, give me some taste for the holy name of and kindly maintain me. So this is just an example of the how we can, even though we can acknowledge that we may not be yet to the point where we can just stop all the things, you know, because if oftentimes we may ask ourselves, you know, what do we want? And again, we'll give the Facebook post. I just want pure devotion service. But what do you really want? You know, we do want new iPhones, and we want shelter. We want some comforts. So we have to balance those things. That and each and every one of us will have a different path in that. But that's why I think if we look at our Krishna consciousness movement and how it's evolved, especially here in America, I think when we were young, Krishna consciousness was only ashram life, but pretty much it was a few percentage. We're not ashramites, and you live together with, you know, so many different people and, you know, so many small spaces. I remember me and Acharya and three other people, we lived in the laundry room, third floor of Boston. It was like, oh, that was our space. And when one person gets up, you're pretty much everybody's getting up, and you're all kind of like, you got the force of it, and you get this taste, and we all performing devotional service together, and nobody's kind of left behind. If somebody's left, hey, wait, come on, Prabhu, it's time for this, it's time for that, it's time to do this. But now we could say, oh, the fear of the Bhava Sindhu or the danger is now that we're more of a community movement, and now the percentages have flipped. There are very few who are in this room or probably listening that are ashramites, that living together in ashram, but they're still there, they're still holding on. But now it takes a little more self recognition and self kind of honesty, self-honesty to look at, well, where am I? How do I move forward? What is too much and what is not enough? Because we know, we've seen all over the decades that those who push and are just the Facebook version of themselves, then all of a sudden they disappear. What happened to them? Where did they go? Oh, I don't know. They went, you know, because they were struggling. But then we're not saying, as Prabhupada is very strongly saying, we don't say to be like these yogis who say, yeah, you just go and enjoy as much as you want also. So what is that for each of us? We can't say like in a public, you know, because each of us have a slightly different thing. But then we also have to be very self-aware, self-analyzing to like, well, is this too much? And I think with age, these things naturally come. And with as we are engaging in the devotion, we'll see it. what is that? Bhaktir, Parishanu Bhava Varaktir, Anjanta Chaisya, Chika Eka Kala, Prapadyamanasya. For those who have actually taken shelter, for those who have taken shelter of Krishna, there are symptoms of that. Three things. One, their devotion increases. And what is devotion? You know, devotion is not just, it's like your devotion, like we heard in yesterday's verse, the power of sight becomes that I only want to see these things. I only want to do these things that are pleasing to Krishna. That's like bhakti, parishanu bhava, this, and then everything you see, everything you experience, you're experiencing Krishna. You're seeing him everywhere, in every interaction, in everything that happens in this material world and around us. We see it with Krishna's hand involved. And Viraktir will naturally become renounced. It naturally comes. But it's not that we try to do those things separately. Let me just try to artificially try to see Krishna everywhere. Or let me try to, you know, just renounce everything. Let's just be renunciates. But those things come naturally when we are taking shelter of Krishna. And what does taking shelter of Krishna means? We're hearing and chanting. We're associating with devotees, the Panchanga bhakti or the Navanga bhakti, the different processes of bhakti that we have available to us. So that is what I'll end here. If there are any discussions or questions, we can take those now.
Thank you, Prabhu. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in like the third or fourth sentence from the end, the Lord is so kind, however, that even today, persons whose brain substance is spoiled are given the benediction to become cats, dogs, or hogs. What do you mean? What does that mean, even today?
Yeah, I think
today?
That's a little sarcastic. I think he's hitting on those yogis and those who are aspiring for things just... but when their brain subject, but okay, you want to enjoy? I mean, how many times have we heard, you know, okay, we see the pictures in the old Bhagavad Gita, you know, you eat meat, okay, you're going to become a tiger. Oh, you want to have illicit sex? Oh, you become a tree, or you know, all these things that you're given actually a better body to do those activities. If that's what we're aspiring for, he's saying, the intelligent practitioner of yoga should aspire for nothing else but to cross the ocean. But for those who are not, their aspiration actually is sense gratification. You know, sometimes I have to go to a Renaissance printing, and there's a to get different copies of different things. But there's a yoga studio right there, and you see these people with their mats, and they're going, they're doing yoga, but it's not. It's not Kardama Muni yoga. It's you know, you see that, you know, they're not, it's for health, you know, it's for this or for that. And they have so many really perverted ideas of yoga these days that I won't even mention here, but there's yoga like that. And so that's just the brain substance is spoiled. They have this conception of yoga, oh, yoga is good, yoga is this or that. I want to be a yogi, but they have this motive. These motives are basically just to enjoy. Well, dogs and cats, they enjoy it with no restriction. Okay. This is their Krishna's kindness in one way. So, more. Okay, yes?
Just another thing. The first, when you first started the class, you spoke of our ability to see, and I thought of that verse in the I think the third canto. It says,
"A smiling face.
His moon-like face is a drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah, is that Kapila Dev speaking to Devahuti? I don't know. Was that Kapila Dev?
Perhaps, yeah, because there's those devotees who come when they see my smiling face, and I think it's either the first before or after that one. Yeah, there's so many wonderful verses. The gopis, when they're first experiencing Purvarag, they're just glorifying the act of sight. Oh, we can see Krishna Balaram when they're going out, and we feel that there is no better thing, no better object of vision than that, than this vision that we're seeing. And again, that verse, Swamurtya Loka Lava Nam Nirmuktam Lokanam Ninam. Swamurtya, the Swamurtya, Krishna's supreme form is so wonderful to see that when we see it, we don't want to see anything else. Anything else? Yeah.
So we have these senses, and ultimately we're taught to dovetail these senses. And Krishna. So even if we misuse the senses because we have bija, these seeds, these desires from multiple lifetimes, and then we never know when they're going to, fructify. So even if we somehow misuse our senses, Krishna seems kind enough that he will use the material energy to somehow use what we misused. He will still use that to somehow keep us moving in the direction of his lotus feet. That's just not what I want.
So are you saying that when we realize that by using the senses apart from Krishna, we get realization that this was not good. Is that what you're saying?
No, okay. Because they're suffering.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and the more and more we do that, and that's the whole journey, that, from time immemorial, the soul is journeying through this, and then we get an inquiry, we want to inquire.
Good. And then sometimes you see, or in my perception, even in my own personal life, is that if you're trying to, control the senses, why does Krishna keep taking that thought? I just had it and then it just left in here. That sometimes we become dull. So we think, okay, by not using this, but we dull our senses instead of dovetailing them to Krishna.
Dull? And then dull you're saying
them.
Dull?
Yeah, okay. Dull yeah, them yeah. down so that we don't have any feeling. Mm. I'm not supposed to feel this, I'm not supposed to feel that, so therefore I don't feel.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's
Krishna says, what will regression accomplish? Yeah. What will oppression accomplish?
Right. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, we got more questions. Okay. Get the snare drum ready.
Okay, there's so many, there's unlimited ways to approach it because Krishna's unlimited, and we've heard as jivas we have a proclivity to enjoy, to be happy, to experience pleasure. So Krishna's trying to redirect our proclivities in a productive way, to put it in ordinary language. We don't have to do that, but he's trying to get it so we want to do that. Because to want to do that is now to engage in that loving exchange, you got to want to do it. So he's just working with us. It's if it's his material energy, you can call it yoga maya, you can call it this, you can call it that, but it's all Krishna. from his side, he's trying to pull us in.
Thank you. Acharya, you had something? No.
Could you reread that even today section from the purport? That one sentence.
The Lord is so kind, however, that even today persons whose brain substance is spoiled are given the benediction to become cats, dogs, or hogs and enjoy material happiness from sex life and sense gratification. So even today, even a million years ago, even a million years from now, Krishna is so kind that if we want it, we can stay here and enjoy that.
Yeah, I was thinking that also even today that Prabhupada was like drawing his disciples from that class also.
Yeah.
You know, like Morning Star Ranch and Dr. Mishra's and...
Yeah, and donuts.
Huh?
And donuts.
donuts and cigarettes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, so the devotee is even more merciful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we are at time. We'll cut us in.
Hare Krishna. Just that point about repression that just came up. I'm wondering, so if a person, if I want something, but I'm thinking, well, I don't want to ask for that because that's not going to be beneficial for devotional service. Is that repression?
Well, Yukta Vairagya, it works a little differently. It's for those things that can be used, we use them, but we use them in Krishna's service. So I think it depends on what it is that we're repressing. And there are prescriptions for so many varieties of things and for different stages of our life, our devotion. So sometimes Prabhupada will say that if those who are attached to sex life, they should read about Krishna's dealings with the gopis. But sometimes that may not be the best thing for somebody who's looking for enjoyment and hearing about Krishna and the gopis, because we see that also done very cheaply. But when we see pure activities of Krishna and his devotees, it should give rise to, oh, that's obviously everything like that is for Krishna, it's not for me. So I think individually we have to see, well, what is repression? I mean, are we repressing the candy bar? Well, okay, can we make a gulab jamun instead of a donut? You know, and then would we be repressed? I don't think so, especially if you know how to make gulab jamuns. And so there's always, as Mataji said earlier, the dovetailing is important. We must dovetail those things that we can use in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada was a perfect example of the yukta. He would never say, no, I'll renounce, I'll repress, I'll get rid of it. No. You give it to me and I'll use it for Krishna's service. Certainly there are things that we cannot take for Krishna's service that are contaminated, that are in the mode of ignorance and worse. So those things, however, though, that, you know, again, it's individual. What is that specific thing that we're repressing? Are we repressing the urge for a very vile thing? Then, okay, you need that. You may need some help as well. You may need some external help, some counseling, some therapy. What is this that you're repressing? But Krishna consciousness should be a very natural thing. It shouldn't be like, I'm holding it in before I explode, you know. Because Krishna consciousness is our natural. It is the natural activity of the soul to be enjoyers, as Sri Muni said, to be enjoying. But we've just misconception. I'm going to enjoy through these things instead of, you know, how do I find the enjoyment in Krishna's service? because we don't have experience of the spiritual senses. At times we'll have it. We feel something in a particular time or place. But the enjoyment is, yes, it should be a very natural thing in our Krishna consciousness to enjoy Krishna consciousness. And there are ways to do that, to gradually bring us to that stage. I hope that answers. Thank you. Okay, we are definitely over time. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.